B-Pod Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday morning to all out there. It's NFL draft day. We'll get into that in a minute. But last night, not much going on, just the Phillies.
Is Rhys Hoskins still rounding the bases?
34.2 second home run trot last night in the bottom of the ninth inning off of the same pitcher who threw at him the night before. That was nice.
That's good redemption. You know, a buddy of mine yesterday had a good remark when I said, you know, you and I were talking about that he should have charged the mound.
Yeah.
He said, you can't right now. You're too short-handed. You got too many guys on the injured list, you know, and you can't afford a suspension, blah, blah. He said, don't worry. They'll get him. They play him 20 more times this year. They'll get him.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not a big fan of all
this. Patience, Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm not a very patient person when it comes to retaliation, and I don't like... You know, like, I didn't think Vince Velasquez should have thrown at somebody last night. Nice retaliation by Rhys. He pimped that home run trot around the bag. Actually, let's take a listen to it, Pat, if you can grab that. Tom McCarthy and John Kruk seem to enjoy it as well. So to put it in comparison, Bartolo Colon, when he hit a home run a couple years ago, 30.5 seconds, I believe, was his home run trot.
All right.
Rhys Hoskins was 34.23.
Nice.
The longest trot in Major League Baseball so far this season. That's pretty good.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. So, you know, overall, good night for the Phils. Vince, well, let's take a listen to it. Here's the home run call last night on NBC Sports Philly.
I think some of Rhys' teammates are anxious to
try. Does it well. So left field, going back on it is McNeil. He jumps, it's gone! A two-run home run for Hoskins, and watch how long it takes him to get around the bases. He's going to soak this all in, and the Phillies take a 6-0 lead. This is a beautiful trot.
I cut it down a little bit, but it was 34 seconds of trotting, taking his time. Had to feel pretty good.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Well deserved, yeah.
Vince Velasquez gave you a pretty strong outing last night.
Oh, my God. First inning, I'm watching him.
27 pitch.
Oh, my God.
27 pitch first inning. I went, oh, boy.
Here we go. That's Vinny Velasquez.
But he got out of some jams. You know, some one-out runners in scoring position jams, I think in the first and the fourth. You know, fastball was moving, decent. You know, it appears this is what he is.
I was just going to say, you have to put the label on him, and you hate to do it, but he is what he is.
A five-inning pitcher that his ERA is under 2 right now. I think he's 1.99. His whip is good this year. His strikeouts are there. He's putting a lot of guys on base and getting away with it so far. Not exactly the recipe you love to see, but
no.
But he's been one of your more consistent guys this year, so you got to give it to him in the 5 spot.
Yeah, and Gabe has gone to the formula of he gets 5, and you get 3 other guys to give you an inning or whatever, and there it is, and it worked out fine last night. That's a good win to end a bad road trip. 2-5 on the road trip. But you come home, now you get the Marlins. You're still tied for first place, although the Phillies, the Nats, the Braves, and the Mets are all bunched up, which is probably going to be the way it's going to go the rest of the year.
Yep. It's going to be a brutal division.
Yeah, so you got to take advantage when you have the likes of the Marlins coming into town.
You really better, because they stink. Roman Quinn, the injury bug on this team is
unbelievable.
It's outrageous right now. This team really seemed to struggle since Gene Segura's gone out. He might be like that glue guy that really sets everybody into their natural positions.
Yeah.
And you just don't have the depth on the infield right now. Rodriguez came up last night because they thought he would be better than the Goose, the Gosselin. Yay.
Yeah, they're going through a tough time right now with all these injuries, and Roman Quinn just can't stay healthy.
I mean, talk about Mr. Glass. I always get nervous about Embiid and Wentz, but man, Roman Quinn, he got hurt on advancing on a wild pitch last night.
I mean, and they always talk about the potential of this kid. Obviously, he has the speed.
I like him. He was solid last year.
But he just, my God, talk about a label, and it's exactly right. He just cannot stay healthy.
And he got out early last night trying to bunt, and he, like, kicked the ball out of the box. So they were frustrating. Like, it was a boring, it was like watching paint dry for
it
a
was.
While.
That bunt play, you watch it, and I think the announcer thought it went off his bat in foul territory, but then you see it went off his foot, and it's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Yeah, they're. I don't want to say they're hard to watch right now.
Well,
but
Bryce Harper's strikeout rate is
alarming.
At a career high pace, he's not quite there yet. And I'm not sounding the alarm. I think he'll be fine. But his strikeout rate is much higher than it's been in his career. He's going to be on pace for 200 plus strikeouts if he doesn't, right the ship here. Yeah, not great. I think I saw a stat that, I think like 18 guys have had a strikeout rate that he has right now, and only one of them, Chris Davis in Baltimore, had like a decent season of those people with the strikeout rate he's on.
Wow.
Yeah, so and even Chris Davis, you took 225 strikeouts a year because he was hitting 50-plus homers. So I don't know if Bryce is ever going to be a 50-home run guy. But the strikeout rate is certainly something that is catching your eye.
Yeah, and, we always saw it with Ryan Howard. He struck out an awful lot, but the numbers were astronomical that he was putting up, the 40-plus and the 125-plus. I don't know if you're going to get that out of Rhys Hoskins. And Howard also was your cleanup hitter. Hoskins is your three-hole hitter. You'd like to see some more contact. But that's what it is nowadays. It's strikeouts and home runs, and that's the way baseball's going.
It's launch angle.
And yeah, exactly. So, it is alarming, though, how many times he strike out. It's almost like you're expecting it every time he gets up there anymore.
Yeah. You'd like to see him fix it, and soon. But a three-game series versus the Marlins at home, I think Monday will end their 17 games in a row with no days off. You kind of see a guy like JT Realmuto really needs a night off. I don't understand what Nick Williams has done to Gabe Kapler to be behind Roman Quinn and Aaron Altair. But I would like to see him get a start. He said he's going to get a start this series. But we're, 24 games into the season or something?
Yeah.
And he hasn't started yet?
Nick Williams, he hates it. Not that he hates, but Nick Williams seems to be in his doghouse. Cesar Hernandez, he absolutely loves.
And Cesar
throws out there all the time.
Has been booty.
Oh, my God. He can't feel the,
He's playing dumb. Bryce got upset with him last night because he was calling off a foul ball, and Cesar almost ran into him. Like, come on, man. Like, if you're not hitting 300 like you used to or had potential to, you at least got to be a smart ball player, and he hasn't even been that.
No, not even a little bit.
They've been frustrated this past week.
Yeah, so Bryce Harper this year, 103 plate appearances, 31 strikeouts. He's striking out a third of the time he's going to the plate. That's
alarming. Yeah, I think he was typically like a 21% strikeout rate guy throughout his career. And he's certainly up a lot.
Yeah, and now his on-base percentage is still hovering right around 400.
Yeah, which is great.
So that's fine. He's hitting 261, whatever. But
he's just stressing the contract?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know how baseball players are. Such a long season, they hit their ups and downs. But I just want to see him start hitting some line drives. Just start spraying the ball. Just start, ball on bat.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So the Sixers schedule, shifting gears here, is set. It came out yesterday. I think we still have some times to be determined based on the Western Conference and how that all wraps up. Former Sixer Lou Williams had a big night last night for the Clippers.
Sweet Lou. How about Golden State not being able to close them out last
First
night at
time
home? Game
they've
five.
Lost two home playoff games since the Cavs NBA Finals.
Wow. Yeah. that was
shocking.
To show
you how dominant they've been. And Lou Williams, both times the Clippers have won, has had 33-plus.
And 10-plus assist.
He's, even Kevin Durant, like the comments after the game were, you can't just expect you're going to go in there and shut Lou Williams down. I'm like, damn. Lou's turned himself
Lou's
into
got
a,
some respect.
Yeah, he's turned himself into a very nice career.
Oh, God, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. all-time leading scorer, bench scorer in NBA history.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty neat thing to have.
And for a high school kid out of Swinnet, Georgia, I believe
there you
it was.
Go, yeah.
Former Sixer. How long was he here? 6 years?
Yeah, something like that.
5, 6?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, I always liked Lou.
Oh, Lou's a good dude. Real good dude. He was one of my favorites to cover.
Yeah. So the Clippers have, you know, they're probably not going to make it still. But, you know. Good for them. Landry Shamet didn't do much last night. He said he played 34 minutes and had
six points. Yeah, 6 points. He took like 4 shots. He didn't do much of anything.
Yeah. But. So we're waiting for some stuff in the West to wrap up. But officially, the dates are set. Just some of the times are in flux. So first game Saturday, it's most likely going to be either 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night on TNT in Toronto. You know, that's cool.
All right.
Prime time.
Yeah, you don't like the night game. You'd rather afternoon, or what did you want?
I'd rather the afternoon,
yeah,
selfishly, but that's cool. I mean, I'm just an old man that falls asleep by 10:30 at
well,
night.
Well, no, I'm looking at it basketball-wise. I think if you're going into somebody else's arena and trying to win a game one, I think afternoon, I don't have any stats on this at all, but just a feel.
Yeah, no, so you're not waiting around all the...
Yeah, and the hype builds the longer you wait, and it makes it harder to play, I think, in front of another team's home crowd. So I was kind of hoping for the afternoon, but
yeah, whatever.
What are you gonna do?
Saturday game one, Monday game two in Toronto. Then it comes back to Philadelphia Thursday. That time is set Thursday, May 2nd, 8 p.m. ESPN game, Toronto at Philadelphia. Hopefully, it's coming back series tied 1-1. And you could take the advantage there in the ever important game three.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to steal one of these first two. And then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo. Also my due date.
That is your due date.
3:30 p.m. ABC game. So there you go. There's your Sunday afternoon 3:30 game. We'll see if I have a child in my arms or not at that point. And then Tuesday, May 7th, Thursday, May 9th, and then it finishes game 7, Sunday, May 12th in Toronto. So there you have it. I mean, we'll get into it more today and tomorrow, but it's going to be, a phenomenal series. I kind of see this going six or, I mean, I... Minimum, I think it goes six, but I think we have a game seven on our hands.
All right, let's do this real quick. If the series goes 4 games, percentage that the Sixers win it in 4?
Oh, 2?
Percentage Sixers win in 5?
12?
In 6.
Am I doing it, that they're winning?
Yeah.
In 6? So let's see, I'm at 12 and 2, so I've used 14%. So I'll go a 40 spot for was that 6 you said?
Yeah.
5? Are we on 5 or 6? I just blacked out.
We're on 6. They don't have to all add up. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'll go like 45%.
All right, 7.
I mean, that's what I think. If they're going to get it done, that's what I think it is. Okay. So, the remainder.
All right.
How does that sync up with you?
Yeah, it's funny because
I can't see them winning in anything less than 5. That's just crazy talk.
Yeah.
So that leaves 6 and 7.
Yeah. Do you think Toronto can win in 4 or 5?
If they win it in 5, Brett Brown should be gone.
All right, I didn't ask that, but
well, that's but no, I mean that's what my expectations are.
Right. Yeah, I see this series going 6 or 7.
Yeah, like I think it's a 6 or 7 game series. Anything less will be disappointing.
And I saw a rating thing today on Twitter. Starting 5 ratings.
Yeah, they have the best net rating in the NBA so far.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So
number 2 is Toronto. But it is also with Serge Ibaka in the starting lineup, and they haven't been starting him lately.
Yeah, he's going to be a pain off the bench. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about their bench matchups, and all it comes down to is how much can your starters play? How much can you expect from Joel Embiid every night? Actually, Pat, can you grab the one Brett Brown talking about Joel? Brett Brown was on with Mike yesterday, and, you know, this is what it's going to be. They're never going to tell you that he is what he is. It's a day-to-day process. And here's Brett talking about what they're expecting from Joel in this next series.
I can tell you that Joel has been incredibly professional. But as it relates to like a full-fledged available Joel Embiid, I can't promise that. I hope it, but I can't say that right now.
So more of the same.
Yeah.
You just don't know. I mean, it sucks. I would expect him to play in every game this series. But I don't have all the confidence in the world saying that.
Yeah, no, I came away from the interview, though, yesterday. I listened to it when Mike had him on. Feeling pretty kind. He said, you know, he's working out. He didn't say anything about days off. He didn't say anything. He said, you know, he's able to do his treatment and all that stuff. D-lined him the other night when we were on our pregame show. So that, what's today, Thursday? So that would have been, what, Tuesday night? At practice on Monday, she said that Joelle had been working out harder than she had seen in a long, long time.
Hmm.
So, you know, maybe things are on the up and up with that. You know, the Sixers are going to be secretive throughout the whole series. Every game, it's going to be a game time decision, all that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of feel pretty confident with them moving forward. Brett also did.
This is our new norm.
Yeah. Brett also did kind of allude to the fact that Jonah Bolden will probably get some serious minutes as your backup center.
Yeah, they watched Greg Monroe play.
Well, I wasn't talking that. I was talking more Boban.
He said if Boban's ineffective.
Yeah, but
Boban will be ineffective if he's playing Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, I was.
He's not a good matchup for Gasol, who will stretch him.
Yeah,
and he's not a good matchup for Ibaka, who's quicker and more athletic and more physical.
Yeah, and okay, that's one thing. But offensively, you know, he's a horrible mismatch for them too. So Ibaka's smaller, and you know, you can take advantage of that also.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see how
many trades you can make defensively for offense. Like you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Jonah Bolden terrifies me. So
to no end. And he doesn't give you anything offensively,
and
really.
No confidence. Like, I have no confidence in that.
No, so
but that's what
yeah,
it
so
is.
That's one of the things Brett's going to have to figure out. He talked about defensively. The scheme won't be the same as it was against New Jersey, where, you know, they constantly ran people off three-point lines and stuff like that.
By the way, that closeout game five, that was the best I've ever seen them in terms of funneling people to Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And the Nets just didn't know how to. That is like Spencer Dinwiddie, you saw the fear. And like anytime he got to Embiid, he was just like immediate back turn, back out to the perimeter, top of the key, circle it around again.
Well, Jared Allen, like one of the first possessions of the game, I think D'Angelo Russell drove, fed him. He was with Embiid. He back dribbled to about 6 feet when he was at three and then put up. It was kind of open, like Embiid was there, but he didn't contest it. And like missed a 5-footer way short.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. They have it's a good matched series. Like you know, Jimmy Butler and Ben match up well with Kawhi.
And it's gonna be so much fun that you and I will do the same thing. Starting lineups will come out right away. We'll look who's on who. Who's
yeah,
on
yeah. There's a number of ways the Sixers could attack this. Do you try and put Ben on Lowry and just take him out of the game? Because that's a clear advantage, you know, defensively, if you want to. But then again, do you want to put Ben on, you know, a Danny Green or a Kawhi Leonard or?
Well, I think you have to start with who do you put Redick on?
Do you want Redick on Lowry just to kind of, because his shot's not great, so maybe
yes,
Redick can
play
hang.
Off of him. And, you know, although Lowry obviously can dribble drive, but that's kind of what you want if Joel can be anywhere near the lane and isn't getting pulled out too much.
Yeah.
One of their starters can dribble drive.
Who would you say, excluding Joel Embiid, their best two defenders are Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I'll go there.
The Raptors' two best offensive weapons are Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're just matching it up like that, do those two take those two?
You could go that way.
And then that leaves Tobias Harris on Danny Green, which I think is a decent matchup. I would say slight advantage Tobias, but Danny Green's just got, he's got that playoff, like, Nightwalker blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that should be an advantage for the Sixers, Tobias over Green. Then you got Gasol versus Embiid, advantage Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right, maybe it's just how JJ can handle Lowry.
Yeah. I think that's what it's going to be. I do. I think
Lowry's not a guy that's going to work you to death off ball, so he's not going to exhaust JJ, you know what I mean? Which I guess would be a concern because JJ works so hard offensively. I think maybe that's it. Yeah,
could be. It could be a case where they're playing Kyle Lowry the way other teams have played Ben Simmons in the past. Now, it can't be that extreme because Lowry will shoot, obviously, and he can make. He just has struggled in playoffs. But if you let him get going early, that could come back and bite you in the ass, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how Brett decides to go with this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a great series. I really think X and O wise, they match up very well. Look, you know, you hear a lot in the national media that the Sixers haven't won in Toronto in a couple years, and they haven't beat 1-3 this year. Well, this is a new team. They haven't seen this new look Sixers with Tobias Harris yet, and Tobias, Ben, and Jimmy are probably going to have to play 40 minutes a game.
Have to. I mean, all your starters, maybe except for Embiid, but all of them have to be out there 40 minutes on average.
Yeah, it's going to be, they're going to have to work. Real quick, on another note, Jimmy Butler, very cool move yesterday, held a Sixers employee Easter egg hunt in the parking lot over the training complex.
Yeah, over Camden, yeah.
Pretty awesome.
He's a man of the peeps.
That horrible team. Look, he may be putting on a good front because he's a free agent and all that, but, like, he seemed, like, I don't understand where this baggage all came from an outsider's view. And, you know, we know some people that we've heard great things about the dude so far.
Yeah.
Seems kind of weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's, perception is what it is. And maybe he's found a spot here that he really likes and things change. And maybe he didn't love it in Chicago. Maybe he didn't love it in Minnesota. And that's why things came out the way they did. Look, Jimmy Butler, from what we've heard and all, is one of the most competitive people.
Well, it's funny. I watched his Instagram story. So he played the Easter Bunny yesterday, and he hosted the Easter egg hunt. And he's going, all right, now. And he's got the microphone. He's telling everybody the rules. He's like, you know, competition's good, but don't truck anyone out there. Yeah, he's like, don't knock anyone over. So he hid eggs all around the lot. He had an ice cream truck and a cookie truck come in to feed everyone. And then the eggs had, there was tons of candy there, but they had golden tickets, like Willy Wonka golden tickets.
Right, right, right.
Some of them were for cash. Some of them were for Apple Watches. He had, like, some coffee makers.
Wow.
He had a big flat-screen TV. And apparently he was giving people some nice cold, hard cash.
Nice. Good on Jimmy.
Pat Egan invited the media. Pat Egan knows somebody that got $250 from him.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty cool move by Jimmy Butler.
Was it a friend of yours, Pat? I know I'm going into a weird place.
There's a guy at Quizzo that comes to Quizzo a lot.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so very cool move by Jimmy Butler. He looked to be having fun out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going to be huge in this series.
Yeah, it's funny, we'll do it on the 6 o'clock all day long, as well as the NFL draft, obviously. But you know, next to Embiid, it's the age old question in this series. Next to Embiid, who's the most important Sixer?
I mean, you can easily make the case for Ben Simmons not disappearing.
Yeah,
but Jimmy Butler as the veteran, as your closer, he might. Tough. I don't know who you make the case more for. But coming up, we didn't even talk about the Eagles draft. I don't want to get into that in a big way. I actually want to go back and look at the past three drafts as we head into this one and kind of stack them up, how the Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman era has done. I have a list of all the guys they've met with. We'll see. Adam Schefter would be most surprised, he said, if they stay pat at number 25 tonight.
Either up or back.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. There's a couple guys with medical flags out there that could be slipping. And, you know, Howie Roseman has proven he's not afraid to take a chance on those guys if the talent is there. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting night. Could be a long night picking number 25. We'll see what happens. You're listening to Fanatic at 5. We got Pat Egan producing for Bob Cooney. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at Fanatic 5:23.
I'm still a kid when it comes to the draft.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
In that, I know they need offensive line depth. I know they need help along the defensive line. Linebacker. But, man, I still look at the skilled positions and get excited, you know?
Well, you were just reading up on Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I was watching highlights of him the other day. My God, that guy can move.
Yeah, he's fast as hell.
Yeah, 5'11", 170.
He's also tiny as hell.
Yeah, he is tiny. He's,
but he's an Eagles fan. He grew up an Eagles fan.
How about that?
So draft him.
Oh, yeah, you got to get him now. Why not?
And he said he grew up an Eagles fan just because they were always on TV in the McNabb and T.O. era. And
Brian Westbrook.
And just stuck with him.
I think he said 97.5 the Fanatics own Brian Westbrook.
He probably did. You got to draft the guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the draft tonight, the Eagles are at number 25 on the draft board. Reading between the lines with Howie in this offseason, you have to think that defensive line is probably where they're headed.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, whether that means trading up. I would prefer to hold on to the 2 second-round picks because I think you have a couple holes that could use some depth addressing, and 2 second-round picks is that's some good bouillon right there.
Yeah.
So I'd be totally okay if they stayed at 25 and took the best available player. The position they're in now, we could look back on this draft in, 3-4 years and go, that was a critical draft. This could be a huge one for Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas because of the fact Brandon Graham's getting older, Fletcher Cox is not older, Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, a lot of your contributing pieces, offensive linemen, Brandon Brooks, a lot of the Kelsey, a lot of these guys are kind of getting to the point where, 3-4 years from now, you're going to need that new wave of youth coming in. So I think this is a really important draft for addressing just that. Your next generation guys behind your the stalwarts of your roster right now.
Yeah, you're kind of at that. You don't have a specific need, obviously.
And by the way, Nelson Agholor is being shopped.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday also. Yeah, so, which also made me think of Marquise Brown because he could step in and maybe
exactly
be that speedy slot guy.
If they are seriously shopping him, then yeah, Marquise Brown is a real possibility at 25.
Yeah, so, the thinking, and Bob Ford kind of wrote about this today, is it all about Carson Wentz? Is this Carson Wentz's team? If so, well then protection for him, some more weapons for him could be the way that they're looking right off the bat. You mentioned defensive line. I think Howie's talked about it endlessly, and because of the way Howie is, that I'm starting to think he's not going to go.
He's rarely obvious.
He's making it too obvious, right? So
he's rarely obvious. I will give him.
So, I think your big, we can do this all day.
Pepperoni pizza or sausage.
I think your biggest needs are you have to get some safety help.
Absolutely. But I think it's not that stressed. I'm not that stressed about it because I think they have a couple guys that can convert. Like Avante Maddox showed you that he can play safety.
Right.
Who's the other person that
Rasul Douglas is a guy that they're thinking
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, like he showed you a little bit in flashes last year. So like yeah, I want to draft a safety. I do. But I'm not spending one of my first three picks on it.
So I honest to God, you could say that about every position, I think. Yeah, they have to draft a blah, 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 but I don't have to take one in the first couple of rounds, three rounds. You know what I mean? Because that's what happens when you're just drafting
third
depth.
Round safety would be cool.
Sure, and some people might say, hey, a third round offensive guard might be a third round or more. Or hey, yeah, you can get a linebacker because they don't put that much emphasis on that position anymore in the later rounds.
If they want to take an offensive guard first, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm cool if they take a linebacker.
Right.
I'm
we
cool
could say defensive tackle. We could say running back. We could say I'm cool with a lot tonight. I don't have a lot of expectations heading into it. It is an interesting draft in that regard. Linebacker, they've never really invested in early.
No.
It's basically a 1.5 linebacker set that they're mostly in. So,
right.
Like, they're probably not going to address that. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle out of Clemson, is a guy that seems to be right around that position in a lot of the mocks.
He fell there.
Yeah.
Also, which scares you at times, but I don't know why he has.
Yeah.
But he's a monster.
So
you're right, James. I just think you go into this, they'll take somebody and you'll be the reaction of fans won't be, what the hell did they take a blank for? It won't be like, what the hell did you take a safety for? What'd you take a linebacker for?
Yeah.
No. because you're just adding depth everywhere.
I don't want to see a cornerback in the first two or three picks.
I think
they have a ton of youth invested in that position.
Yeah.
And it's time for people to, you know, bleep or get off the pot. So I think you have to find, I think it's critical this year to find out what you have there for the future. But yeah, lots of options tonight. Going to be fun. I do want a running back in the second round. That's what I do.
Oh, really?
Want.
Okay.
Yeah, I want either Justice Hill from Oklahoma State or Miles Sanders. Yeah, Miles Sanders from Penn State. I think both those. I mean, if Josh Jacobs is there in the second round, sure.
Yeah.
But if he's
there in the first round?
I'd be okay with it, but I do have an Alabama running back fear.
Okay, fair enough.
I just think
they, I hear you. That's
they,
fair
they,
enough.
They have NFL linemen down there, so I think they always look, you know, they don't always translate. Some do, sure. Mark Ingram's had a little nice career.
Yeah.
But guys like TJ Yeldon, you know, I have in my mind.
Yeah.
They're just like kind of journeyman players.
No, I hear you.
I'd be okay with it. I wouldn't be angry. But I do want a running back address in one of the first three picks.
Okay.
Nelson Agholor is an interesting situation.
What do you think that gets you?
I think if you package it with a pick, because it's only a one-year deal, at not a terrible number. I think he's 9.5 on the cap, something like that. So, if you package, maybe he's enough juice to move up at 25, and Agholor could get you to 16, 17.
Yeah.
And maybe...
Then you have somebody that you specifically targeted.
Yeah, then maybe a Montez Sweat, the freak athlete... DN from Mississippi State, who's got a little bit of a health concern that's making him slip.
Right.
Maybe somebody falls that far where you go, oh, well, Agholor in 25 can get me up those 7-8 spots.
Right, right.
So we'll see. It's an interesting chip to have. But there's a couple guys in this draft, Rashawn Gary, Montez Sweat, the other guy, big D tackle from, what the hell's his name? He's got the Achilles problem. We just talked about him the other day.
Yeah.
It's going to drive me nuts.
I know. I haven't.
Anyway. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
It will be. Whenever Howie's involved, it'll be a lot of fun. People might get disappointed because tonight might end without them taking a pick.
It could.
You know, it really could. You just have to see how it plays out, what he'll do. I hope he has a pick tonight. I would love for them to have a pick tonight.
I don't want to invest 2.5 hours into, they've traded. I mean, but if you had like 4 second-round picks, I'd also be pretty cool with that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If 25 was able to turn into a second and a future second or something like that.
Yeah, and especially when you're going depth, like we talked about.
Yeah.
You know.
So Bleeding Green Nation has a little like calculator here of draft simulation results, and basically it funneled it down to best player available at position 25, who they've been tied to, yada yada yada, and it basically calculates, you know, who has been the most chatter out there for the Eagles at 25. Number one on the list is Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson. They have four guys that could potentially go in like the first round from that defensive line.
It's amazing,
it's
isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty incredible. Dabo Swinney has really become a beast of a recruiter and building a program there. Yadni Kajuste, and I probably butchered that name.
That's all right.
Is second on the list. He's from West Virginia, linebacker. The Eagles have shown that they like the West Virginia pipeline of players coming through. I'd be shocked. I mean, maybe he's a tackle. I'm reading the wrong guy here. My bad there. Third is Deontay Thompson, the safety from Alabama. I'd be cool with that. Fourth is Marquise Brown. Obviously, Hollywood Brown, wide receiver from Oklahoma.
Right.
Small guy, speedster, can run like crazy. And Chris Lidstrom, a tackle from Boston College, is the fifth guy on that list that they've been tied to. And Boston College used to be kind of tackle you. You know, they offensive line you. So, you know, like we said, happy with anything they do. Pat Nambler joins the show. Good morning, Pat.
Right, BC. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Happy draft day, Pat.
Oh, yes. I'm very excited for tonight. Very excited. I don't know where the Eagles are going to go with Howie. You never know. But I'm hoping they grab themselves a nice, solid running back. I know we got the guy from the Bears, but I just hopefully they just get another.
Pat, I think they're going to address the running back, too, because Jordan Howard, only 1 year remaining. We'll see what he is. He's solid. but he's not your workhorse. You'd love a youth to compliment him.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I hope they go there, or a defensive back, somewhere like that. You know, you can't go wrong with defensive back.
Yeah, and you might need a tackle option. You might need a defensive end option. You know, that defensive line's getting old. There's a lot of ways they can go. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, and what makes it fun is how he makes it fun, because you don't ever know what's going, you know, what he has up his sleeve. So,
yeah.
So that really makes it fun. And another thing, with the Phillies, I mean, a nice win yesterday. They get their payback. Reese Hoskins gets his payback on the Mets. But to me, is it a real locker room? Like, I look at the Sixers, they're fun, they're taking, you know, they got each other's backs. The Eagles always had each other's backs. As much as the Flyers had a bad season, they never point the finger, say, this, you know, it's because of you. I mean, I can point the finger at all day at G, but no, they never point the finger at each other. So, I mean, is this, you know, locker room, is it a real locker room? I mean, they're constantly throwing each other the bus, or, they almost got into a scruffle the other night, no one had each other's back.
Well, Reese last night after the game said, you know, Jake's comments lit a fire under us, and it took 36 hours to take. but no, I think they're cool with it. I think it's a good veteran clubhouse now at this point, with Reese and some of the younger guys being 2-3 years in. Your McCutcheons, your Real Mutos, I think these guys are clubhouse veterans, so I think they're gonna be fine, Pat.
Yeah, we'll hope so. And I mean, because I like I said, losing to the Mets, I can't stand it. You know what Mets?
They own us the last like 3-4 years. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, you know what Mets stands for? My entire team sucks. I hate the Mets. You gentlemen have a great morning.
All right, see you, Pat. Thanks, buddy. Quaz and Sean, I see you there. You're itching to talk some draft. I'm itching to talk to you about the draft. We'll get you guys up next. It's a big day. Phillies win last night. Sixers schedule gets announced. Eagles draft tonight. Nothing short
good
to talk
about. Time.
It's been a good
sports
time.
You got a baby coming?
Yeah. It's been a good sports time for a while now.
Yeah, oh my God. It's carried through ever since the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it's
like,
just really carried through.
Sometimes in our industry, you know, June, July is usually like,
yeah, a little bit of a
what's your Mount Rushmore?
Yeah,
all that crap. Just because it's slow time. But, like, we've been on a great run here of quality sports stuff going on. And it's fun.
It is.
Hashtag blessed, Bob.
Hashtag blessed, Jane.
We got Pat Egan producing. You're listening to the Fanatic at 5. Time at the Fanatic 542. Welcome back in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Happy NFL Draft Day. We're going to get right back into the draft talk, but if you're just joining us, Phillies get a 6-0 win up in New York last night. Reese Hoskins hits a 2-run home run in the bottom of the 9th and proceeds to do a 34.5-second trot around the bases.
How about that?
Yeah, right in your face, Mets. How does my ass taste? That's what Reese said. In comparison, Bartolo Colon.
Really?
Huh? Yeah, it's the Kobe and Shaq's rap.
Come yeah, on, I know. I got you.
In comparison, Bartolo Colon's home run trot was about 30.5 seconds. To put it in comparison, he's 3 seconds longer than Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, there was... I wanted to count the steps when we just saw it.
It was pretty slow.
It was very, very slow.
It was great.
Yeah.
Sixers playoff schedule is set. Saturday and Monday are your first two games. Then it goes Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. We both expect it to go, you know, probably 6 or 7 games. But the matter at hand we're getting into right now is the Eagles NFL draft, or the NFL draft is tonight. The Eagles are picking at position 25. Lots of options out there in terms of positions and who they could target. Montez Sweat is a guy we were just talking about during the break a little bit. He ran a faster, he's a 6'6", 260-pound defensive end from Mississippi State, who produced in the SEC. He's a freak athlete that produced. He's got a little bit of a heart condition that I'm sure Howie and the Eagles have checked out. But he's a guy I think would really, really intrigue them if he slips down into that like 15-16 range. that's when I could see
then
Howie.
You see a trade up, huh?
He ran a faster 40 than most of the wide receivers at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, that's pretty freakish, isn't it?
He's got like an 8-pack. He's jacked. He's a huge
he's
edge
got an
rusher.
8-pack. Egan has an 8-pack.
Yeah, he's just like 100% muscle. He would intrigue me a lot if they did something like that and they moved up to get a defensive end that, you know, is a real deal. I would be very excited by that. Quaz in Philly wants to talk NFL draft. What's going on this morning, Quaz?
Happy draft day, fellas.
Happy draft day. It snuck up on us, didn't it? It's fun.
Oh, my goodness, dude. I'm tingling. I'm like, let's get it. It's showtime, dude. So much time.
So any expectations for you tonight, Quaz? Are you going to be happy, unhappy?
No. I have real data here for you. Real data.
All right, lay it on us.
All right. First, let's start with the obvious. Howie drafts offense, then defense, offense, then defense. Last year, first round, pretty much offense, right?
Yeah.
We're on the defensive side of the ball now.
Last year was Goddard, Maddox, Sweat,
right.
Pryor.
So we want offense first. So now we're going defense. Now, when you look at our defense, there's a glaring hole. We have been the worst team at third and long and fourth and long for the last 2 years. For the last 2 years, that's with that secondary pieces that we like. We like our corners. We like Malcolm Jenkins. What is the problem? Why can't we get off the field?
We're number one in hurries, right? Yeah.
We're number one in hurries. That says if the quarterback holds the ball for one more second, we get off the field. We don't get off the field, and that costs us 3 games this year.
So you're talking D-end, aren't you?
No, I am not. Again, we're loaded there. What those stats say to me, that's big down the heart of your field. That's your mic and that's your strong, your free safety back there. Now, we had those numbers when Rodney McLeod was healthy. Okay, so even he's coming back from an injury. Howie looks at it, he says, okay, we're not going to get rid of Schwartz, but we're going to change what we're going to do in the back. He go gets himself a consultant board to help him with creating turnovers in the secondary because it is a real problem. It's the biggest glaring problem on this team.
You on Deontay now, Thompson?
No, I am not going there. I don't like him either. Now, you say, let's convert Maddox. If you leave Maddox where he is, he could be a Pro Bowl nickel. I hate when we draft somebody like, do something good like Brandon Graham and then line him up at a tackle and get him hurt.
The anticipation is killing me, Quaz.
Yeah, come on, Quaz. What do you got?
Draft starts in 12 hours.
I'm going to spin it out for you. I'm going to spin it out. All right, and then you say Rasul Douglas. I believe Rasul is the understudy for Michael Jenkins. I like him as an in-the-box safety. The guy, if we go chalk. Now, Jamie, I'm going to do the pick 52. I need you to cue me up with the chimes, okay? I'm going to go ahead and announce it. With pick number 52, the Philadelphia Eagles select safety Juan Thornhill out of Virginia. He is a guy who gets to the ball. He knows his angles. He got the measurables. He comes away with picks. He is the guy in the second round we need to go get.
Right.
His name is Juan Thornhill, and we should get him at 52. That's if we don't use the first round. We go first round and go ahead and get this problem taken care of. Jonathan Abram. Jonathan Abram will be your perfect guy. Then now we can get off the field, and that makes everybody underneath it better.
All right, awesome. Quaz, happy draft day, my man. Sure, I'm good with the safety in the second round.
There's not a pick out there that I'm not going to be pretty happy with.
Sean and Delco joins the show. Happy draft day, Sean.
Happy draft day, fellas. How you doing?
Good. So what's on your mind tonight with pick 25?
So as far as pick 25, I'm kind of in the same boat where I don't think we can really go wrong, per se. I would like to see either O-line or D-line, I think.
Yeah.
If we could find a solid left tackle. That'd be great. I know they don't grow on trees, but that's where my head's at. The reason I'm calling is because I heard somewhere that Dan Snyder is taking over the draft for the Washington Redskins.
There's a guy, Grant Paulson, who covers the Redskins down there for The Athletic. He said, Dan Snyder, basically Jay Gruden is in the dark. Dan Snyder is running the draft. And if that's the case, last time he did that, they ended up trading the house for RG3. And there's some, they're desperate for a quarterback because of the Alex Smith thing. There's rumors out there that they really like Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke, which would be such a stretch I'd love it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Is he just a total ass clown? Is that what's going on?
Total ass clown. Okay. The Redskins fans hate him. They really, I almost feel bad for him because.
Who likes him?
Himself.
His wife, if he has one.
Yeah, something tells me he's a guy that's divorced a couple times just from
looking
at
his face. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
He just looks like he's really annoyed. But yeah, that would be beautiful if the Giants and Redskins are in a quarterback arms race and have to give up capital to do it. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Sean, happy draft day, man. We'll talk again soon. Right. See you,
all right. Coming
up next is Mark Farzetta. With Bob Cooney and myself, Tim McManus is going to join the show at 9 a.m. today to give you all the latest rumors and whispers.
Timmy Mac.
Love Timmy Mac, LaSalle High's finest, Bob.
I thought you were.
Well, yeah, I'll concede to Tim.
Okay.
Yeah. 8 o'clock, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000. A lot going on. Phillies win last night. Avoid the sweep in New York. Sixers playoff schedule is set. Raptors on Saturday. We the North. It's going to be a lot of fun Saturday night. And, of course, it's NFL draft night. Get excited. Coming up next is Mark Farzetta. Thanks to Pat Egan for producing. Time at the Fanatic 555.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.